I said it was a shir on the Agada, but I'm not going to go through each paragraph and give everyone different Torah to say over on each paragraph on the Agada, because I think that there's a little bit of a more basic understanding of the Agada that I think would be useful to us, to everybody, to really just get a little more background of what's going on. And with the understanding of what's going on, then we'll be able to appreciate it and then put everything else that's going on in perspective. So, I have over here a couple sheets of Ma'ar Mechemis, which, I don't know if we'll get to it, but either way, even if we don't learn it together, if you want to take it home and read it, if we don't get to it, it's definitely a useful thing. So, So here, you want to make room? So, the basic mitzvah that we're coming to fulfill, the night of the Seder, obviously, is the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Agada is based on. It's based on the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, obviously, the idea of the mitzvah Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to explain the story of our exodus from Mitzrayim, is to internalize the messages, the limudim, what we're supposed to understand and learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what are the basics? First of all, let's just take a step back. What did we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is it so important for us to constantly remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? There's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah every day throughout the year to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why is Yetzias Mitzrayim so significant? What are we remembering every day? And how does the mitzvah how does the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim differ from that? Now, I'm not going to talk about, you know, people say the difference between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the daily mitzvah versus the mitzvah that we have unique on Pesach, is how do you do it? Do you do it in a question answer form? Do you do it? There's a lot of technical differences, but I think there's a more fundamental principle, a more fundamental difference between the actual mitzvah of what you're trying to remember, and not just how you're remembering it. What are you actually trying to remember? What are we trying to take out of the mitzvah? And I think once we understand that, we'll go back to the Rambam. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs lists four components to the mitzvah. And the reason I'm giving this share is because I was telling you, I have a small chabur somewhere else, and I said to some of the concepts that I was going to say tonight, and he was so surprised. I figured that maybe there's a tale for people for this. So the Rambam says the four components of the mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvahs, and then we'll go through a little bit in the Haggadah, where do we fulfill the four components that the Rambam describes of the mitzvah. But before we get to the four components but I first want to explain what are we trying to do, and by understanding what is it that we're trying to do, then we'll understand why is it that the Rambam lists these four components, what are we accomplishing with those, and where do we do those in the Haggadah. That's the background. So, what were the lessons of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And again, why do we constantly remember it? So the Ramban here, this is the Ramban in a Chumash, you can find that it's the last Ramban in Parshas Boy. It's the Ramban in Soif Parshas Boy. The Ramban, and this is a Ramban that I was in Yeshiva in Passaic, and I heard it from my Rebbe tens of times, and then I went to Lakewood and I heard it from Matisyahu Solomon tens of times. And people say over this Ramban many times. When Rav Matisyahu Solomon would say it, he would say it bal peh. This whole Ramban, he would know it bal peh. He didn't use a chumash. When he was saying this Ramban, he would know it bal peh. So it's a Ramban which describes, basically, there's three principal things that we're supposed to, fundamentals of emuna in general. And we learned about all three of them. Yeah. And we learned about all three of them in. Is there an extra copy? Yeah. We'll share it. We'll share one. So there's three principal fundamentals of emuna, and all three of them, he says, we learned in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what are they? And I underlined it in the second paragraph here. He says, well, really, in the first paragraph is where is. Well, let's go to the second paragraph. It says, "Lachein Yoimar Hakosuv b'moifsim. He says, because of this principle that he said in the first paragraph, he says, that's why in the mofsim, in the nisim that were said in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we find three languages that were used. One language it says is that the makos were brought, l'man teda, so that you shall know, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, I am Hashem in the midst of the land. What does that mean? L'horos al hashgacha. That's the first principle, is that there's hashgacha pratis. Hashem watches over us. So how do you see that? He didn't just let things happen. There was hashgacha pratis. He saw that the Klal Yisrael had to leave Mitzrayim, so he made nisim. That's the first principle. But in some of the makos, it says something else. It doesn't say, I'm Hashem in the midst of the land, means I'm still here. I'm watching over the land. There's hashgacha pratis. But this one is different. This principle is something else. To show us that Hashem created the world. That's what it means. Hashem created the world, so it's His world. And some of the makos were to prove that point. So he says, first of all, we learned hashgacha pratis, and second of all, we learned that Hashem created the world. And the third, kihem shaloi shabram ba'ayin. V'omar, and in yet a third principle which is said in regard to the makos, it says, ba'avur teda, you shall know, ki ein kamoini b'chol ha'aretz, there is no one like me in the land, l'horis ala yecholes, to show us that Hashem is greater than any other force in the land, and He can do anything which needs to be done, He can do, and He's the most powerful shushal bakol. He's the most powerful force in the world, in the Bria. Okay, so those are the three principles of faith which we learned from Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's why if you look through all the makos in Parshas Va'era and Parshas Boy, each one of the makos, when Hashem tells Moshe to introduce the makah, He introduces it with one of these three phrases: either ki Hashem ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz, l'man teda ki Hashem haaretz, or b'avur teda ki kamoni b'chol haaretz. So He introduces all the makos with one of those three principles. Okay, one of those three fundamental yesodos of emunah. So Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Ramban, that's why, he continues to say, that's why many mitzvahs are zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. How is Shabbos zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim? What does Shabbos have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? Shabbos was because Hashem created the world. No, because Shabbos tells us that Hashem created the world, and we saw that in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Another question: how does Rosh Hashanah, in the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah, we say Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim? Sukkot, maybe you could get away with it. Say that, you know, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, because we left and there was an Anikav. What is Rosh Hashanah? The Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, we say Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does Rosh Hashanah have anything to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because what is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Din. Hashem is judging us. Hashem could only judge us if there's hashgacha pratis, if Hashem is watching over us. That principle we learned in Yitzias Mitzrayim. So all the principles of emunah, basically anything that we do, it could be zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says here a very fascinating thing. He says, therefore, if you put up a mezuzah, you're it's unbelievable because you are. He says, Mishakana mezuzah bezuz echad. Apparently, mezuzah is very cheap. He says he's trying to give an example of a very cheap mitzvah. Even if a person just get a simple thing like a mezuzah, you're ingraining in yourself all these principles of faith. So it's a pella because a mezuzah says the first two parashas of Kriyat Shema. It doesn't say the third parasha of Kriyat Shema. So it doesn't say anything about Yitzias Mitzrayim in a mezuzah. A mezuzah says Shema Yisrael v'ahavta v'hayayim shamaya. It doesn't say anything about Yitzias Mitzrayim in a mezuzah. So how is it that if you put up a mezuzah, you're remembering your Yitzias Mitzrayim? So I just saw, right when I was coming here, I saw someone ask this question. But what?
But again, it's part of the
Yisrael. Yeah, because Shema Yisrael, exactly. That's what Briskerov says. Because he says, how is it Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because Shema Yisrael is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's remembering, it's becoming an Eved to Hashem. That happened in Mitzrayim. But that whole, all the principles of emunah.
Putting it on the door the same way they put the blood on the door.
Okay, so I guess you could do that also. But the principle itself that we learned from Yitzias Mitzrayim are really, you could plug them into any mitzvah. That's what the Ramban says, and that's why over and over again the Ramban says the Torah stresses Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a mashal that there's a mashal given by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I'm still not sure if it was a story that happened to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and I may have said it over even here, but there was a story that happened with Rabbi Shaul Stanton, or he said it as a mashal. So I'm not sure exactly, but basically, I think the way I heard it is that it was a story that happened to him, that he went to someone's house in Paris, and he was staying in the house, and he saw on top of the piano there was a sign, like some sort of sign, that the daughter, the girl in the house, had won a nationwide contest for dancing, or some ballet, nationwide contest. So he wanted to call it, let's say, piano, to make the story a little bit more understandable. So he wanted to hear the girl play. So he says to the parents, "Can I hear? This is unbelievable. We have right here in the house the prize winner of the nationwide prize. Let's hear her play." So they call down the girl, and the girl says, "Sorry, I'm too busy to play. I'm too busy. I'm playing. I'm not interested in playing right now. The piano." So he says, "Well, the rabbi wants to hear you play." So she yells down and she says, "Well, if the rabbi doesn't believe me, just tell him to read the sign on the wall." So Rabbi Shaul Stanton said, it's the same thing with people who say, "Well, Hashem doesn't do nisim for us." So he says, look in Yetzias Mitzrayim, look in the Torah, in Parsha Shmois, Va'era, Boy, B'Shalach, all the nisim are right there in the Torah. Hashem says, "I have to play." Like the girl says, "I have to play for every person that decides that they want to hear me play." Hashem says, "I don't have to do the nisim for everyone that decides that they want to see it. I already did it. I proved myself." And Yetzias Mitzrayim is the ksav that's written on the wall, the diploma, and everything's proven in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why there's a mitzvah to constantly remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that's all the daily mitzvah of Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim, or tefillin, or mezuzah, or whatever it is. What is unique about the mitzvah that we're going to do of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, this is really what I wanted to get to. There's an interesting ha'ara on the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs lists the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah that we're going to do on the night of Pesach. He lists that as one of the mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin 157. But the Rambam does not list as one of the mitzvahs the daily mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. The daily mitzvah that we do every day, twice a day in Shema, he doesn't list that as a mitzvah. And the question is, why not? So the Mefarshim say that the reason why the Rambam doesn't list it as a mitzvah is because it's going to be batel la'asid lavo. The Rambam only listed mitzvahs which are going to last forever, even after Mashiach comes. But after Mashiach comes, the daily mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, to say the mitzvah, the nisim that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, are going to be batel. They're not going to be negay anymore. And the question is, why? Why not? Because the miracles that proved all these fundamental principles are going to pale in comparison to the miracles that are going to happen when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, these things are going to be a joke. You're not going to need to remember this stuff. You're going to remember it because you saw tremendous miracles. The miracles that are going to happen when Mashiach comes are going to be even greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, you're not going to have to remember anymore Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Mefarshim say. But then the question is, so why is there a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So why is it different? Okay? So this is what I want to talk about.
How is it even when are you supposed to do this? If there's not going to be Pesach, there will only be Purim? When is this appreciated from
Say, if that's the reason, when do you do it? So you do it on the night that it happens. Maybe it won't be a Yom Tov, but it's still the anniversary of when it happened. You're saying you're going to sit down with your cell phone on the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim?
No matzah, no wine, or nothing, just
here. It's a good aura. But because the Rambam says, what he means to ask is because the Rambam says that all the Yomim Tovim are going to be batal. The Rambam says that all the Yomim Tovim are going to be batal lasid lavo. So therefore, according to the Rambam, that's what he means to ask. How's it possible that we still have it? Okay.
Everything is so now, mitzvahs, everything that the Rambam lists is only...
That's what they say. It's only mitzvahs which will apply even loss of love. That's what the Mefarshim say, yeah. So, the answer is the following. The answer is that the mitzvah, like I said in the beginning, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to remember the miracles. And the way it differs from Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just in the way you remember the miracles. In other words, some people say the way it differs from the daily mitzvah is because you have to do it in a question-answer form. You have to start with the bad, end up with the good, and different chilukim like that. But I think it's much more than that. It's not just how do you do the mitzvah, but it's what you're remembering is different also. You don't just remember the nisim.
I think it's just a zecher.
It's a zecher to remember the miracles and to remember what happened.
It's a sibur.
Okay, I know, but it's not just that you're saying. As opposed to just remembering the miracles, you're saying more details of the miracles. It's more than that. The mitzvah sibur yitzias mitzrayim is supposed to not just enhance our emunah and that we should remember the story and everything, but it's supposed to actually make us feel and strengthen our avodas Hashem itself. It's most of for us to. It's supposed to make us feel a stronger sense that we're of Avdei Hashem, that we are here to be servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we'll find that there's going to be many aspects to the mitzvah which don't make sense if it's just a simple mitzvah of remembering the miracles. Okay? It's not just about remembering the miracles, but rather it's about what the miracles mean for us. What do they do for us? So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore what happened? Therefore we became Avdei Hashem. That's really the point. The point is that we became Avdei Hashem on Pesach. The idea of Pesach is not just to remember the miracles like we do every day, but to remember, therefore, because of the miracles, what happened? Because of the miracles, we became Am Hashem. We became the Avodim of Hashem, and therefore we're supposed to act accordingly. It's really a halacha. It's really a halacha in the Gemara in a few places. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is the following. Let's say you hire somebody to do a job for you. The halacha is, now you don't have to pay him, but the halacha is that he could quit in the middle of the job. Now, again, you don't have to pay the guy necessarily, but the halacha is that you do have to pay, that you could stop in the middle. So the Gemara says, why not? The Gemara says, because he's not your Eved. He's not your Eved. This guy's not your slave. A slave can't quit in the middle. He's your slave. This guy's not your slave. You hired him to do a job. He should continue to do it. But he can quit in the middle because he's not your slave. Why is he? How do we know? Maybe he is. How do I know he's not your slave? So he says, because there's no such thing as a Jew ever becoming a slave to another person, because we learned in Yetzias Mitzrayim, ki avodaihem v'loy avodim la'avodim, that once we became Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can no longer be Avadim to anybody else. That's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. That's what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. As a matter of fact, we say in davening every day, Vayetzienu, is there a set over here? Somewhere. Vayetzienu.
Just when you decide the picture is away
from you. Right. Thank you. Okay, I hope it's in this one also.
Thanks to you.
I don't know if it's the same nusach, but it says, here, Vayotzi es amo Yisrael mitocho me'avdos. That we don't have that in Nusach Ashkenaz. This is sorry. Vayotzi es amo Yisrael mitocho lecherus oylam, for an eternal cherus. What does it mean, cherus oylam? What do we say every day in davening? Cherus oylam, an eternal cherus, eternal freedom. So we can end up in Golos again. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says cherus oylam means this. It means we can never become avodim anymore. Once Yetzias Mitzrayim happened, there was an actual change in our status. We became Avodim to Hashem. So we're taken. We can never become, we're taken not just in a symbolic sense, there's a halacha. Since we're Avodim of Hashem, we're taken, you cannot become an Eved for anybody else anymore. You can't have a Kinyan Aguf to anybody else. And that's what it means in the davening, Cherus Oylam, an eternal Cherus. Okay? So,
so once we left Mizraim, and we made a pact with Hashem, the Jews, it was an eternal for that was it.
Right.
The ones that didn't leave perished.
Exactly.
So, well, we didn't have a choice. Either we went, we agreed to what Hashem says we do, for the eternal life, or we perished.
Correct. More or less, that's the story, you know.
That's the story.
So those guys that decided, the 4/5 of us that decided to stay put, they were lost. So the cherus oylam, the eternal cherus, was they lacked the emunah. But it's the emunah, the unique part of the mitzvah of Pesach is not just the emunah, but it's the emunah which led to an avdus. Now, just two, for example, also Reb Chaim points out a very beautiful thing that we say in davening, and it's something. If you note it, once just notice this vart, it really helps your davening. You say it twice, both in Shachar and in Musaf, and Shachar and Maariv, and in the Haggadah. We say in the Haggadah, in the Bracha, we say at the end, we say like this. It says, V'yoytzeinu me'avdus l'cheiris, m'yogin l'simcha. No, in the Bracha. It says like this. At the very last thing, phrase that we say in Magid, the very last phrase before the Bracha, it says, V'noyde l'chashir chadash, we'll thank you, al ge'ula seinu, on our ge'ula, v'al pedus nafshenu. Now ge'ula, how would anyone translate ge'ula?
Redemption.
How would anyone translate pidyon?
Redemption.
So what does it mean, al ge'ula seinu? What do they translate? Do they say? Is there a different word for that? Let's see. Hopefully, it's not covered with any grape juice stains here. Oh, so they say redemption and liberation. Okay. So, but really, this. What does it mean? Al geula seinu. We thank Hashem for the geula that He did for us. Al pedus nafshenu and the pedus nafshenu. Also, the redemption. So Reb Chaim says that there's two things. Geula is a redemption in the physical sense. It's a change of location. In other words, we're not there. We left. We were taken somewhere else. That's geula. But pidyon, what other place do we have the word pidyon?
Pidyon
aben. Or let's say you change something. You want to redeem something from hekdesh. It was kadosh. You gave it to the base of hekdesh. You want to redeem it and make it back chol. So geula is not just geula is just a physical change in location, but pidyon is a redemption, but it really signifies more of a change in status than just a physical change. Geula, yeah, that's why it says al pedus nafshenu, a geula seinu al pedus nafshenu. In addition to the geula that we left from a time to go to Eretz Yisrael, but there was also pedus nafshenu. There was a physical change. There was a change in our status. We became avdei Hashem. We became that we weren't anymore avodim l'paro. We became avdei Hashem, and being avdei Hashem is an eternal status. That's the cheres olam. So if you look in the tefillah, we say this every night in Maariv and Shachris also. So we say the same idea. It says again. I hope it says it in this. Is Ashkenaz? Okay. I think it does say it there anyway, but. Yeah, but this has too much English in it. I don't know if I can find it here.
He's going to get another sitter.
Yeah, no. He said, "Sad." This is the same thing. What'd you say? Liven it up? Yeah. Yeah, each one has its own nusach. It says here, Mimitzrayim ge'altanu in Shachris. Mimitzrayim ge'altanu. From Mitzrayim, you did a ge'ula to us. Mibeis avodim pidisanu. The pidyon was not from Mitzrayim. The pidyon was mibeis avodim. In other words, the physical redemption was from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim ge'altanu, you took us out of Mitzrayim. But more significantly was mibeis avodim, from being slaves to Mitzrayim, pidisanu, you give us a pidyon, and now we're not anymore avodim of Paro. We're eternally the avodim of HaKadosh Baruch. So again, so this is really just a little bit of the background. But the idea of the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to remember physically the miracles, but more than that, but to internalize the fact that because of those Yetzias Mitzrayim, we became avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supposed to strengthen our emunah as well, and our avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another ziyuk that it says over here in the tefillah, in the Haggadah. It says, we say, Hotzeinu me'avdus l'cheirus. Miyogon l'simcha u'me'evel l'yom tov. Okay, so the diak is that all these things are not necessarily the opposites one of the other. Me'evel l'yom tov. You took us out from evel, from mourning, l'yom tov. Leaving evel, getting out of mourning, is not necessarily getting you to yom tov. But we're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. You took us out of evel and you gave us yom tov. So it's a double thanks. Or you took us out miyogon and you gave us simcha. Not just we're not upset anymore, but we're even happy. But what does it mean you took us out me'avdos l'cheiros? I mean, obviously, once you're not an eved, then you're free. Right? So Briskerov says this idea. He says that taking us avdus is one thing, but taking us l'cheiros olam, that it's an eternal status, that you can no longer become a slave, you're always an avatar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically for tonight, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So again, this is a little bit of the background. Now I said we're going to go through a little bit the Rambam. We're going to see what are the four components of the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll understand a little bit the context, based on the context that we just explained a little bit. What is the purpose of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We'll understand a little bit maybe the why does the Rambam list these components? How do they help us put in perspective and fulfill this mitzvah? And then go to the Haggadah and see where do we actually fulfill and get to each one of these components in the Haggadah itself. Okay, so there's not so many of these, but there are a couple of the handouts. I don't know if you could... Do you want to get some more? Okay. I mean, by the time you... Yeah, I can choose this. Here's another one. I don't know if... I'll probably be finished by the time you come back, but... Okay, I have one right here. It's in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin in the Rambam. Okay? The Rambam says the following. We'll start reading. Hu Shetzivanu, the 157th mitzvah in the Torah, is that Hashem commanded us L'saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim to say the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan, on the night of the 15th, B'Tchilas HaLaila, right away, at the beginning of the night, which is a whole... In the Achrenim, there's pages and pages written on that, those two words, B'tchilas HaLaila. Why does Rambam say it's supposed to be at the beginning of the night? You have the whole night to do it. Okay.
Start
right away. So make sure Ma'arav is early.
Kefitzachos,
what?
Kol Ha'Marbe.
So make sure you have enough night. Don't waste your whole night, finding where everyone's sitting. Kefitzachos Lashon HaMesaper, according to everybody's ability of speech. The way everyone is really able to do it. But then, and everything you continue and you add, and you continue and you and lengthen the words and you add to it, then he didn't say that, but that's what I'm saying. So now he's going to say, what do you have to explain? He says, anyone that continues to explain and goes on and on about the following four things, that's going to be Harei Zeh Meshubach, that's he's going to be praised with. So what are the four things? Number one, Bahagdolas Ma she'asa lanu Hashem. Now this one is very understandable. To enhance and to make great that which Hashem did for us. Ma she'asa lanu Hashem. So that's the first component. The first component is, that's the first thing that's underlined in these handouts. The first thing that's underlined is that phrase, Ma she'asa lanu Hashem. Okay, so that's very understandable. The first component is, what did Hashem do for us? So I would say that's the whole mitzvah. What did Hashem do for us? He took us out of Mitzrayim, period. End of story. The Rambam says another three things. Number two, Uma she'asa imanu ha-mitzrim. There's part of the mitzvah, the Rambam says, you're supposed to talk about what the Egyptians did to us. Maybe it's not so comfortable, you know, you don't want to talk about it, but you have to talk about what the Mitzrayim did for us. That's part of the mitzvah. Why? That's probably just to help us appreciate how great the miracle was. Once you understand how bad it was in Mitzrayim, you'll be able to appreciate more what happened. So that's the second component. Number two. Now, the third component is interesting. Ve'eich lokach Hashem nikmaseinu mehem. And how Hashem punished the Egyptians. So it's also very interesting. We're not used to doing that. We don't want to talk about that so much, you know. But there's a mitzvah. You're supposed to tell your children, because the Egyptians were bad to us, they got punished. You know, we try to avoid that part of it. You know, let's talk about the Nisim and everything. You don't want to say, like, why this happened to the Mitzvah? Because they were bad to the Jews. They got punished. We're supposed to say that. That's a very important thing to teach our children, and that's part of the Mitzvah. Okay, it's not enough to just say, well, we left Mitzrayim, it was miraculous, everyone saw Hashem. No, the Mitzvah were punished because they were bad to us. That's part of the Mitzvah. Okay? Again, we'll talk about it. Why is that part of the mitzvah? But that's what the Rambam says. So far we have three things. And then the Rambam says a very interesting fourth component. Then you're supposed to be modeh to Hashem and thank Hashem for what he did. Also, a fourth component which is very unique. You would think that the mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah Sipur is to say the miracle. So say the miracle, maybe the first component I understand, say the miracle, and maybe the second one, say how bad it was, so you say how great it was when we left. But the third component, talking about what happened to the Egyptians, why is that necessary? And then the fourth one, for sure, you're supposed to now thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. I mean, where does that come in? You're just supposed to remember the miracles, right? So these are the four components. Now, if we... if we...
Is it separate or is it really just meant
well, it's one mitzvah.
Is it meant to enhance?
Well, this thing...
meant to enhance.
And if you do three and not four, you're not
here. I'm not saying you're not Yotze. I'm just saying, this is what the Rambam says. This goes into the mitzvah. And if you're marbe in any one of these components, then you're harezei meshubach. So if you want to go on and talk about the makos and talk about how bad it was, and talk about how the frogs were here and the frogs were there, and that's going to get your kids interested. So talk about that. That's a key of the mitzvah. If you want to talk about and say, you know what, it's 1,000 tunes for Hallel, and we're going to sing Hallel and on the whole night. So that's also part of the mitzvah. Any one of these components is a chelik of the mitzvah. Okay? That's what it seems like from the Rambam. I mean, you should probably get to all of them. But, so now...
I'm sorry, I don't understand this. These are four components to a mitzvah.
The Rambam says that
there's
a mitzvah sefer yitzias mitzrayim, and the way you do it is by saying
so
these four things.
You're missing one
No. He's not
first
saying
all,
that.
First of all, you're yotze, probably yotze just
you're
reading the Haggadah.
You're
reading the Haggadah.
You're probably yotze just by saying that we left mitzrayim tonight. The minimum. But the Rambam's talking about harezim meshubach. Okay, you're not harezim meshubach if you start, being mefalpel about hilchos tefillin. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah, right? So if you say Hallel, it's very nice, but what does that have to do with the mitzvah? The Rambam's saying that you're being mekayim the inyan of harezim meshubach if...
But what I'm saying is, just by reading the Haggadah without...
Avada, I'm not talking about the minimum obligation.
No, but I'm answering him,
right.
that you're Yotze, all four of these things.
Right.
You're Yotze, all four...
Now, we'll see where in the Haggadah do we fulfill all these things. But this is what the Rambam says is the mitzvah. But I'm just saying that any being marich and adding on into any one of these components is still the key of that mitzvah. So you can go on and on. You know, I know my kids, I start talking about the makas, they'll be very... You go on and on about that, so maybe that's what you should talk about. You know, if that's what's going to get them interested, so talk about that. Okay. But al-Kupon, this is what the Rambam says, that these are the four components. I wanna first discuss a little bit why are these part of the mitzvah based on what we discussed earlier, and then look in the Haggadah and see where is it that we do these things. So, you know, obviously talking about the miracles and everything, that's what you have to talk about, because you have to understand that we left Mitzrayim, that's the fundamental principle of the Emunah. But the part of the reason why you have to discuss how bad it was in Mitzrayim is because you have to discuss the fact, what does it mean to be an Eved? Tell us what the Mitzrayim did to us. And that's that enhances the miracle. But in addition to that, it focuses on the fact that we were Avadim in Mitzrayim, and we left from being Avadim to Mitzrayim to being Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch. But there's another thing here. The Rambam says you're supposed to talk about the Makos, why the Mitzrayim were punished. And I think the reason for that is because one of the things that we said in the beginning, we said, Zechel Etzias Mitzrayim, we say Zechel Etzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we say Zechel Etzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Hashanah? What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? So he said, because part of the emunah is that there's hashkacha pratis. Hashkacha pratis means HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to what people do. So just like he pays attention to you to give you schar for your mitzvahs, he pays attention to punish people for doing the things which are not right. And that's a fundamental thing that we're supposed to learn. And we learn that from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, it's very important to focus on the fact that the mitzvahs were punished. But the fourth thing, Behoides Le'Yizbarach, to say the Hallel, why is that so important? And the reason that's so important is because this is where Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim comes in more than Zechias Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Sipur makes it personal. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just remembering Nisim that happened, but it's saying that because of those Nisim we became Avdei Hashem. Something happened to us because of those Nisim. If Nisim happened, then we could testify in the Nisim. We wouldn't necessarily say Hallel on that. But the fact that it happened to us. We were the direct beneficiaries of the Nis. Especially the Bris Gerov has a whole Arichas that the Hallel that we say on the Haggadah maybe is like a Shira. It's like a song of praise because it happened to us directly. So the Pshat is that we're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu because it happened to us. It happened to us, and we were beneficiaries of those Nisim because we today are still Cheirus Olam. We are still Avdei Hashem today because of those miracles. So part of the Hallel is discussing the fact that because of those miracles, we became Avdei Hashem then, and we're still Avdei Hashem now. Okay. So these are the four components of the Rambam in the Haggadah. So now, if we go through the Haggadah, see, everyone said there's a Shira on the Haggadah, so everyone was expecting to talk about the Haggadah a little bit. So we'll go through the Haggadah and we'll see where do we fulfill this mitzvah exactly. Where do we do it, and what's the whole setup? And really, what I'm saying is based on the Malbim. A lot of this is based on the Malbim. The basic setup of the premise of the Malbim is that the entire part of the Haggadah that everybody spends time on, it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. This is really basically what the Malbim says. Because what does everyone spend time on? Everyone in the beginning of the Haggadah spends time trying to figure out Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, and why was everyone sitting there, and who are these four people, and why were they sitting in Bnei Brak? And then everyone tries to figure out why was Rabbi Eliezer 70 years old? In the next paragraph, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Eini Kiven Shivim Shana, and you know, his beard turns white, and everyone says the stories about Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. And then we go on to the four sons, and everyone tries to figure out, you know, the four sons, how does it apply today, and everything like that. What is Yachal Rosh Chodesh? The next paragraph, maybe you would start from Rosh Chodesh. Why would you start from Rosh Chodesh? And then finally, towards the end, you realize Chatzos is coming, and we've got to get moving. So the Malbim basically says is that all these paragraphs in the beginning of the Haggadah are not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. What the purpose of those paragraphs is to explain what is the mitzvah. How do you fulfill the mitzvah? So the purpose, the Haggadah basically sets up and says that, and again, because if you think about it, none of the four components that we just said in the Rambam are included in over there. You're supposed to say the fact that we left, you're supposed to say that bad things that happened to the Egyptians, you're supposed to say halal. You don't say any of those in those paragraphs. Right? Because, and the reason for that is because that's not really the, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah with these paragraphs. The beginning of the Haggadah is setting up, this is according to the Malbim, is setting up what is the nature of tonight's obligation. So we start off and we say that even if you're very intelligent, and even if you know the story, even if you know everything, you're supposed to say the story. Why? Because what we're saying is that it's not a historical, again, because put it into the context of what we just said. It's not just a historical retelling of the story. It's supposed to make you feel that you're an Eved Hashem. So even if you know the story, you have to say it over again. It has nothing to do with the historical knowledge of the story. It has to do with the fact that because it happened to you, you became an Eved Hashem. So everyone has to say that story over. And then it goes on and it says that it compares it to the daily mitzvah. And then it goes on to the four sons. What's the four sons? The four sons is saying that the Torah gave specific examples how to fulfill the mitzvah with each one of the four children. And more than that, it's not just telling the child specifically so he'll understand, he'll know what happened, but it's telling it to him so that he can take the lesson, learn the lessons from it for himself. But this is all, you know, it's giving four examples how the Torah said to fulfill the mitzvah, okay? Then finally, if you have a God, so you see, finally, after the four sons and everything like that, then we get to a paragraph like this. We get to a paragraph of Nitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Okay, and which leads into the Yishamda, and then finally we say Tzei Olmad, and we bring down Psukim from Devarim, and those Psukim and Devarim describe basically the synopsis for Psukim, which is basically a synopsis of the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the way they're described in Devarim. Okay, the Rambam says that's where the main mitzvah of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim is. In those four psukim, that's really where you're fulfilling the mitzvah. That's what the Rambam writes in Yad HaChazaka. And I think the reason for that is because if you look in what we start doing at that point in the Haggadah and on, from the point where we start bringing the verses from Devarim, that's where we start talking about these components of that the Rambam said earlier. Okay? It starts off and it says, it brings the pasuk, and the first pasuk describes how bad it was in Mitzrayim. It says, Vayered Mitzrayim aveyagarsham. It says that they tried to make plans against us and they stuffed us in the walls and everything like that. Okay, Vayereyu son amitim vayanunu. That's the first component of the Rambam. The Rambam says you're supposed to remember how bad it was in Mitzrayim, and you're supposed to be marach about that. So right here is where you're fulfilling that component. And then it goes on and it says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And it says, we davened. How did Hashem take us out? We davened to Hashem. So that's really the other component, is where Hashem took us out. Then we talk about the makos. Okay?
How Hashem punished.
That's the other component of the Rambam. How Hashem punished the Egyptians. Okay? Now, this really, so when I was giving the shiur the other day, discussing some of these ideas with someone else, so he said, maybe I should say this whole part in English or whatever, in my own words. I don't know about not skipping the way it says it here, but definitely you should say it in your own words also. You know, this is where the Rambam says you could be ma'arich. If you look over the midrashim about the makos, you look over the midrash, you know, you see what it's all about. This is really where this part of the Haggadah is where it's kedai, where it's worthwhile to really think about it and say it over in your own words and say it, fulfill the mitzvah of saying the story, because this here is where all the components of the Rambam kick in. Okay? Then there's a very interesting, and I'm not going to go through every paragraph. Like I said, I'm not going to go through paragraph by paragraph and say a Dvar Torah in each paragraph, but just to give a basic understanding what's going on, really. So what's happening is that once we start bringing the verses of Dvarim, which is the description in the Torah of the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's where we could, if you look carefully, that's where you have all the components of the mitzvah. You have what did the Mitzrayim do to us? What did Hashem do for us? And what did Hashem do to the mitzvah? The Matos. Okay, then finally, after all that, then we start saying Dayenu. And also, if you ever noticed, we say the first two prakim of Hallel. And people always have the question, why do we say the first two paragraphs of Hallel now, then we make a bracha, we eat and everything, and then we finish the Hallel later? Like, what's going on exactly? Why do we split the Hallel? And the answer is because the two paragraphs of Hallel that are in the beginning are unique. They're different than the other prakim of the Hallel, because the two first prakim of Hallel are prakim of Hallel that specifically discuss with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Hallel that we're talking about here is not. So someone else asked a very interesting question. It says, when we say the, I saw a question. It said, you know, Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas Yachatz, Magid. What happens after Magid? Rachza, Motzi Matza,
Marar Korach,
Shulchan Aruch, and then what? Hallel, Tzafim Baruch, and then Hallel Nirtza. So I saw in two different svarim, they asked the Kasha, L'chor, it shouldn't be Hallel Nirtza. It should really be Hallel Rochza. Because you started the Hallel right after Magid. After Magid, you said Hallel. After Magid, you said Hallel, and then you washed. But so why, if you decided to say the Hallel Nirtza on only half of it, so maybe right when you started right away. You started Hallel before Rachza, and then you finish it later.
It's not Hallel.
But the answer is that these two paragraphs are not Hallel. I mean, it's Hallel, but these two paragraphs are part of Magid. What's Magid? Magid is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? You're fulfilling the mitzvah with these paragraphs, because part of the mitzvah the Rambam said is to say Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just like it is the whole year, to just remember the miracle. But part of the mitzvah is to say Hallel. What? Where's the bracha on this Hallel? Oh, that's an old question.
But I'm saying, if you're not saying that fits very well, there's no bracha.
Okay, that's even better. It just makes it more shver why there's no bracha on the Hallel later.
Not the whole Hallel at that.
Right.
That's the reason why many places say
Hallel and bracha and shul. Yeah.
And the shul.
So, but the reason is because the two paragraphs that you're saying here are, it's Hallel, but it's really a part of Magid. So the Magid continues till Rochza, because the two paragraphs that you say here of Hallel is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not a separate mitzvah of Hallel. It's a mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because part of the mitzvah is to say Hallel.
So if the mitzvah to say Hallel is fulfilled later, you have to say entire Hallel later.
Oh, so that's what he's asking. So if this is such a good shtickle Torah, so then you say the whole Hallel later. You know, what happened to the whole?
I think the answer is better than the question. That it's not it's Hallel, but it's not part of Hallel. Hallel is.
That's why you say the first.
When we say Hallel, we don't mean the Hallel that we say during davening on Yontif or Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah. That's a whole Hallel that we're saying. Hallel means praises. We're seeing praises.
Right,
that's part of Hallel. So the first two part are part of Magid.
In other words, let's put it this way. I'll put it to you this way. You didn't finish Magid yet to say that we're starting a new thing, we're starting Hallel. You're right, it probably serves a dual purpose because it's also connected to the Hallel. But you didn't finish Magid. You can't say Magid and then I'm doing Hallel, then I'm doing Rachta. No, you're still in Magid, really.
When you
you're still in Magid, Rachta, Matzah.
Right, it's very good. And then Hallel. Because that's purely Hallel. That has no other reason why you're saying it except for Hallel, as opposed to these two paragraphs are still Magid. Okay, so that's what the Rambam, and it's mamish clear in the Rambam that the fulfillment of the mitzvah is complete with Hallel. Hallel is part of the mitzvah, and the reason for that is, and that's why I'm saying it's very different in its nature than the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is purely an intellectual knowledge of what happened. This is not like that. This is trying to make you feel thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out and making us his avodah. It's a whole different thing, and that's why part of the mitzvah kala, and that's why we fulfill it over here. So based on that, I think that, you know, on the way we're explaining the mitzvah, I think that really explains a little bit the four components of the Rambam, and it shows us where do we actually fulfill these components. It's an interesting thing. I saw a question. You know, there's a whole issue in general. There's a big machlokes in the Achronim. Is a person mechuyev in chinuch? Is a person mechuyev in chinuch on his daughters, or only mechuyev chinuch on boys? So chinuch for Talmud Torah, you're only mechuyev for boys. You're not mechuyev for girls. So are you mechuyev when it says v'igadat lebincha? Are you mechuyev to tell the Haggadah to your daughters? Or are you only mechuyev to tell it to your sons? If your daughters say manashtana, do you have to answer? Okay, next. Oh, avadim ha'yit. Do you have to answer? So after now you buy sananes is mechayiv them in dal koisus, right? So, but Tosis says in Pesachim the after now you buy sananes only applies to mitzvah derabon. But what about the mitzvah deraisa? So the Aruch HaShulchan says this mitzvah of chinuch is not just a dry mitzvah that you're supposed to tell them the information. It's a mitzvah that you're supposed to be mechanech them in emuna. It's a mitzvah that you're supposed to teach them the fundamental principles of our faith, and that because of that they became avdei Hashem. If that's true, there's no chiluk between boys and girls on that. In Talmud Torah, maybe there's a difference between a boy and a girl. Boys are mechuyev in Talmud Torah, or in other things like that. But in the mitzvah of emuna, fakir, women are just as obligated as men. And since this is a mitzvah of emuna, since Aruch HaShulchan says that avada, a father is mechuyev and obligated to be mechanech his daughters just as much. Because it's a mitzvah of emunah, it's not a mitzvah of chinuch, of the idea of the nisim that happened. And I was thinking that I saw over Shabbos a letter, actually it was interesting. The stipler was a mechutin with Rabbi Yashiv Shlita. So he wrote him a letter and wishing him a good Yom Tov and everything, but really, like, there was about two words of the letter that was good Yom Tov, and the rest of it was like talking and learning. So he asked him, why are women obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the general principle? Mitzvah saseh chesman groma. It's a time-bound mitzvah. So if it's a time-bound mitzvah, there should be potter. And this is also time-bound because it only applies the first night of Pesach. So why are women obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? That was the stipler chat. So the stipler said, because when it says, bizman shematzah mor munachum lefanecha, it means that anyone that's obligated in matzah is obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And since women are obligated in matzah, that's what he said.
But the nets were on them too.
Now, I don't understand the connection again.
Because it's a connection that anyone's obligated in matzah is obligated in, because it says bizman shematzah mor munachum lefanecha. So it means if you have matzah in front of you because you are yochiv in the mitzvah, then you have to do sipur also. That's what this type of says.
Where does this come from? What's the connection?
Well, Rabbi Yashiv basically asked him the same question you just said. he writes him back a letter, he says, I don't like this connection. What are you talking about? Just because there's a mitzvah of matzah, you have a mitzvah of sipur yetzias mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yashiv says a very interesting thing. He says that even though, he says similar to what you're saying, he says there's a principle of afhei and hayu b'isa nes, that if women were in the miracle, involved in the miracle, they're obligated in the nes. However, that principle only applies to mitzvahs midrabanan. It doesn't apply to mitzvahs deraisa. So he wants to say interesting things. He wants to say that's only on mitzvahs that they didn't do then. You know, let's say Hanukkah. When they were involved in the miracle, they didn't light nairs, right? They just happened to have been involved in the miracle. The next year, they lit nairs. But he says, when they were in Mitzrayim, they did all the mitzvahs of the Seder. They had a Seder. So if they had a Seder, the Mestama, they did all the mitzvahs of the Seder. So he says, somehow, he says, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, they were also talking about the nairs. So Mamela, since they actually did it in Mitzrayim, that's what he wants to say. But I was thinking, maybe according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's Pesha why they're obligated. Because of course, you're right, it's mitzvah Seisei Shazman Groma. But it's a mitzvah which is emuna and it's a mitzvah of avdus Hashem. It's the basic, it's the most basic mitzvah of our of Yiddishkeit, that a person appreciate. This is where we were born as a nation, and this is when we became avdei Hashem, and everyone is obligated to remember that as a mitzvah. So mitzvah Hashem. you know, if we all mechazik ourselves as we're going through and take it as an opportunity to mechazik ourselves in not only our emunah but in our avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and realizing that because of tonight, because of Leila Seder, we became the Am Hashem, we should take all of that, we should be able to be zeichet to take that as a chizik for us and continue further.
We also say the